All righty. Well, good morning, my friends. It's wonderful to be gathered in our Father's house once again. And today it's all about worship, right? I mean, we come, we stand in front of our Lord and Father. He forgives our sins. We receive from his word, and we are instructed and blessed, and the Holy Spirit works in us and builds our faith and helps us to walk closer with him. And for all that he does for us, we return to him grateful thanks and praise. And that is what this beautiful day is all about, is receiving from God and returning thanksgiving. And so let us begin this wonderful day. Let us begin this day remembering the gift that we received in our baptism from at the very beginning of our spiritual walk, where the Spirit moved in and made us his child. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have formed us and made us, that you call us to be your own. So, Lord, I pray that each day we reflect upon your mercies and live in accordance with your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this, and ask for grace. I want to do better. In this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Jesus, Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Thank you.
Bless the Lord. morning. Happy March. My name is Lars. I'm one of the elders here, and it's my privilege to read the scriptures for you today. Our first reading comes from Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the book of 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was gathering sticks there. He called her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land.'" She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. At this time, I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message.
Good morning. I have a bunch of questions for you. Number one, is God good?
Yes.
He is? How do you know that he's good?
Because he did good
things. Like what? What kind of good things? Okay. Yes, ma'am. That's right. He took away our sins, didn't he? So we can live with him forever in heaven. Okay. In the Bible reading, we just heard Pastor read where God was good for Elijah. Can you tell me how was God good for Elijah? Who remembers what the Bible said? How was God good for Elijah? Remember the brook dried up? There was no water? And he was getting thirsty and hungry? And so God told him to go to the region of Sidon. And there God would take care of him. So that's how he was good for Elijah. Do you remember from the reading? How was God good for the widow woman and her son? Can anybody remember what the reading was? What did he say? What did God do for the widow woman and her son? Remember, Elijah asked the woman for a glass of water. And as she was going to get the water, Elijah said, "Would you bake a cake for me?" She says, "I can't do that. I'm just gathering sticks now to build a fire to cook just the flour I have left. And when that's gone, my son and I are going to die because we don't have any more." So Elijah said, "God is going to take care of you. God is going to fix it so that you will never run out of flour and never run out of oil until the rain comes. But first you bake a cake for me, and then you bake for yourself." So how did God take care of the widow woman? Did he give her enough food? Yeah, he did. And he takes care of you too, doesn't he? In what ways does he take care of you? Did you have breakfast this morning? What did you have for breakfast? Pop-Tart. Okay. Does God take care of your mom and daddy? Yes, he does. He takes care of all of us, doesn't he? Who can tell me now what is the best way that God takes care of us? What's the best way? What did God do for you? You told me before.
He died on the cross to pay for our sins.
Amen. Yeah, you got that. You want to say that again?
He died on the cross to pay for our sins.
Ow. Ooh. And he's going to heal your mouth, too. Okay. Yeah, we are very grateful that God did that, aren't we? What do we do for God? We can tell other people about him. We can tell other people about how good God is. And that's very important because people need to hear that. And if they don't hear it, then they don't get to have their sins forgiven. It's important that we tell other people. Shall we fold our hands and pray?
Yeah.
Repeat after me, please. Dear God, help us, Lord, to always be good for other people as you are good for us. Be with us, God, and keep our faith strong so we will live with you forever in heaven. Amen.
Sometimes following God is not going to be very easy. Elijah was having a rough go of it. He basically had to prophesy to the king. You know how the Old Testament goes, right? You know, God calls his people back, usually through some sort of difficulty and struggle. And then for a while, they're better and they follow God and listen to him and do his and follow his law and do his and are more faithful, and then eventually they get better times come, and then eventually they get lazy and they get lethargic and they start just going off on their own way again, and then God sends another difficulty so that will call them back to him. And they're in this cycle right now, and Elijah just had to prophesy that no water would fall upon the land until later notice. And, well, of course, you know, that's not easy for Elijah either, because he also lives in this land. And so God provided for him by taking him to a stream and directing that some birds would bring food to him. And they did. But as water didn't fall upon the land, the stream dried up. And so once again, God comes to Elijah and says, okay, here's what's going to happen next. You're going to go to the land of Zarephath. And there is a widow there that I have directed to give you food. And so Elijah comes to the land, and he sees the woman, and he asks her first for a drink, which I guess was an easier ask because she didn't object to that. And then while she was about to go get the drink, he says, oh, and could you bring me a piece of bread? To which now she has an objection. She says, I have no bread. All I have left is a handful of flour and a little bit of oil. And I was gathering up sticks to go home and bake one last loaf of bread for me and my son. And then we're planning on dying because there is nothing more. That's a lot. I mean, think about everything that's in this woman's head right now. She has this man standing before her asking her for just a little food. But all she has is just a little food. And then she knows she and her son are going to die. That there is no other options before them. There's no water. There's no food. This text is a little dangerous. It's dangerous because it can be mispreached. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I could use what I just told you, the story I just told you, I could use that to say when a man of God comes to you and asks you for everything that you have left, what are you supposed to do? Have I mentioned I'm a pastor? Yeah. Is that what this text means? No. Why? Well, because where did the story start, right? When the stream dried up and God said, I want you to go to this land. And there, what did he do? He directed a widow to provide him with food. Does that make it easier on the widow? Now she's standing there. Just add a little bit more pressure on her. She has been tasked by God, right? To provide food for this guy who is going to come. But how much did she have to share? I thought God wasn't supposed to give us more than we could handle. I mean, that's just rude, right? I mean, to say, hey, I want you to give $1 million to the missionary who's about to walk in the room. Now, what's wrong with the plan? You don't got $1 million. Okay, that's a problem, right? I mean, if this widow is supposed to provide Elijah food for the rest of the drought until rain falls again on the land, but all she has is a handful of flour and a little oil, this is a major problem for her. And you can only imagine what am I supposed to do? What? Tell me, what am I supposed to do? And so guess what? Elijah shows up and he says, hey, could I have a piece of bread? And she goes, well, yeah, but I don't have anything to share. I don't have enough. I mean, I have one handful of flour. It's just enough for one last meal for me and my son. Then we're dying too. I really don't know what I can give you that's of any meaning or purpose. And the man of God tells her what she's supposed to do next. And what is she supposed to do next? Give it to him. Great plan. Could you imagine if she was cynical? You know what I'm saying? You know those TV preachers. You know, I mean, they're just going to want the last little bit. They're going to squeeze the last little bit out of me, and then it's all over. I'm done. But at least they got another meal. I guess they're just going to hit up another widow next. You know? I mean, what on earth was the plan? And here's the beauty of the situation. She didn't know. She had no idea what the plan was. This story is about giving, no question. But this story is a lot more about worship. Because what worship is faithful obedience to the God who rescued us, right? That the God who provided us, the God who called us, the God who made us his own, the God who gives us work to do in this world, the God who works through us, the God who gives us opportunity to serve him, the God who has provided us all things, that God asks us to do what he says. Later on in the Bible, we hear another woman who does a very similar thing, right? You know, Jesus is sitting at the temple watching people put money in the receptacles of whatever kind, and there's these people pouring tons of money in, and then there's this widow who comes, and how much does she have? Yeah, teeny, teeny, teeny little bit of money, right? And she drops it in. And who is Jesus impressed with? Her. Why? Because the others were giving of their bounty. They were giving of their much. You know, they would pour lots of money in, but guess what? They'd still go home and have food on the table because they had plenty left. And this woman gave. And Jesus said, that is beautiful. That this woman, out of her faith, because she trusted God more than she trusted whatever she had in her hand, right? She trusted God. And because of her faith, out of faithfulness to the God that she loved and has always provided for her before, she put in everything she had. Is it any different for this poor widow? Only she has a son. I mean, God's not fair. I mean, he's done this before, right? I mean, don't forget about Abraham, right? Who, I mean, what did God ask Abraham to give up? It gives you goosebumps. And it's just horrific to think about, right? I mean, what are you talking about giving up my son? And this widow was being asked not just to give away her own food, her own last meal, but also the last meal of her child. What would you do? Pretend you're not in church and I'm not your pastor. I mean, what would you really do? Right? I mean, this is hard. This is really, really hard. Is this verse teaching us that we are supposed to give away our children's food? Is that what this verse is about? No. Because here's the difference, right? Right at the very beginning, when Elijah was at the dry creek bed and getting the directions and where to go next, what did God say? I have directed her to do this. Okay? So, if God comes to you and directs you to give away your child's last meal, then you probably ought to do it. You know what I'm saying? If he doesn't, you probably shouldn't do that. Okay? That's not normal. What God was asking of this widow was far beyond normal. And she did it. If you read the text carefully, she did it more than once. Because every time, it says that she brought him food, right? And then she went and made more for her son. And herself. And it says that the food did not give out, but the order is so interesting. It says there was always food left for Elijah and for the widow and her family. What does that imply? Who'd she feed first? Do you think she learned something through this process? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if every single time she took what looked like the end of the supply and made a loaf for this man of God and then went back to use whatever was left for herself, why would she do this? What did we talk about last week? Quiz. Anybody remember what happened last Sunday? often I can't, so I'm not going to hold it against you all that much. But here's the thing. What we talked about last Sunday was this, right? What is more real? What I see with my eyes or what God says? And what did the man of God say? Speaking for God. He said, bring me the last of the food because the flour in the oil will not run out until water comes back upon the world. Why did she obey Elijah and bring him the food? Who was she trusting? Is that radical? Really radical. And you got to think a little bit about what it took to get to that point, right? I mean, what were the things that were in her head? I mean, did she have to know that God was faithful? Did she have to know Elijah was speaking for God? Did she have to know that God was actually asking her to do this? I mean, this is crazy stuff, handing away the last meal every day until the drought was over. I mean, this is intense. Here's the thing she had to know, though. God could legitimately claim everything she had. You understand this? That, in other words, the only reason God could ask that of her was because he had the right to do so. You understand this? I mean, because I think that a lot of times we don't understand this very well. You understand? I think a lot of times we think in terms of mine, right? That it's mine. What does it mean that something is mine? Do we talk about it being mine? Yeah, I mean, we do, right? I mean, we talk about being my car, right? Especially when it's broken. I think my wife thinks that way. It's her car till it's broken. Then it's our car. Anyway, but no, but the thing is that we're very familiar with the idea of mine, right? I mean, two-year-olds get mine, right? I mean, there's like if they want the toy, it's theirs. If they had the toy at some time during the day, it's theirs. And until it's broken, and then it's yours. Yeah. But the idea is that we understand mine. But I don't think we understand mine the way God wants us to understand mine. The way God wants you to understand the things that we own, what is my own, is to understand it as it belongs to who first? Yeah, this is a profound thing. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to him. That the entire world is his. Everything, all things. And when you use a word like all, is there anything left out? Okay, so if I show you anything on earth, who does it belong to? Good, we've established this. Even if it's something on the other end of the universe, does this include non-physical objects? How about like principles of nature? I mean, who made them, right? Who holds it together? Yeah, it's all his to serve him in his world. This is all his. How about you? Do you belong to God? Do we believe in slavery? No, that's not quite how that works, right? But the thing is in a very real way, are you his? Is that good news? How do we start our service today, right? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so that we would remember what? Our baptism, the place where we were made his. It's beautiful news to know that we belong to God. Wonderful news that we belong to God. Great news because that makes him our Father, and he provides for his children and loves us. All the things that we need. He is such a good God. But if I belong to God, doesn't that mean he also has a claim on me? And that even the abilities and time that I have, the my emotions, my intellect, my everything that has to do with me also belongs to Him. So what do you do with that? Okay, fine. Everything in the world is God's. Everything that I think I own belongs to God first. And then even me and everything about me also belongs to God. What it means is this. You are given the gift of using some of God's stuff. All right? And your job now is to steward that stuff. So here's, think about this. You know, it's like, well, I have a really nice car. Have a good imagination here, folks. All right, I have a really nice car, and somebody needs to borrow it. What should I do? Well, I'm going to hoard it because it's a nice car. I don't know if I trust that person. They're going to scrape it up or park it in a parking lot in a bad way. They're going to do something dumb with it. I'm going to keep it. After all, I'm supposed to take care of the stuff God gave me. Halo. Yeah. What do you think? Well, if it's His, and I believe He wants me to lend it or perhaps even give it to somebody else because their need is great, what should I do? Makes you uncomfortable, don't it? Yeah. I mean, what if somebody comes and they're driving and their car breaks down and they end up knocking on your door and the weather's horrible and stuff? What are you going to do? Invite them in? Put them in the guest bedroom? I mean, what else are you going to do? Leave them out in the snow? Well, why would you do that? Well, your house, who does it belong to? You know what I'm saying? Here, all the things you own, the way a steward thinks is not, this belongs to me and it's going to serve me. The way a steward thinks is, this belongs to my master and I want to use it for His interests and for His good. I want to do His work with this thing that He has given me. Well, that's asking a lot. So are we back to the, like, you know, when the man of God comes, you have to give everything to me? I mean, I just show up and say, hey, feed me. Is that how it works? No. God gives you guys a lot of jobs to do, right? And the stuff that He gives you is supposed to help you to do all those jobs. Like, anybody married? Yeah, guess what? You're supposed to take care of your spouse. That's how that works. Anybody have family? Otherwise, kids. Yeah? Okay, guess what God wants you to do? Take care of your kids. Anybody here have parents? Guess what God wants you to do? Take care of your parents. Anybody here have Christian brothers and sisters? Guess what God wants you to do? I mean, He doesn't hide the ball. I mean, He tells you this all the time, right? I mean, He says, if anybody sees his brother or sister in need and does nothing, how can the love of God be in you? I mean, come on. How do you not take care of the people that God has placed in this world around you? And He tells us this. Now, does that mean that who do we help first? Well, we help first the people that God has given us responsibility for. You know what I mean? Our children, our spouse, our parents, those people are the ones closest to us. And then the people around us, our fellowship of believers, and then the world at large. And we do all we can, but we use the things God gave us to do the tasks that He has given us to do. So does that mean you don't get to take care of yourself? After all, if all your resources for everybody else, you don't eat. Well, how long will that last? Not very long, because, you know, we need food. Does that mean we shouldn't take care of ourselves? Well, no, because God also gives us the stuff so to take care of ourselves. Even our bodies, our lives are also given to us as a trust. It is part of what God is trying to take care of with through our things. But the radical truth is, our role with all the stuff that God has created, including us, our job, our focus as his stewards is, what does God want me to do with this? It's not about me. It's not about what do I want? What are my goals? What are my aspirations? It is, what does God want me to do with this? So easy, right? Everybody has a list. Everybody knows exactly what God wants you to do. Probably not. Do you think this is going to take some scripture study to understand what God wants you to do with your life and everything connected to your life? Do you think you might need to spend some time in prayer about this? Do you think you might need to be very humble as you approach God in this, because you might have a few desires of your own that may try to fight against whatever God's trying to tell you, right? And that's what it is. What we are trying to do, I'm not here to give you all the answers. I can give you guidelines. I can give you broad pictures. But God has ways of telling us stuff. He has ways of putting opportunities in front of us. He has ways of laying things at our feet and saying, here's opportunity, here's resources. What do you think I want you to do? You know? And so, folks, I want you to think. This is one of those sermons where I'm going to send you out of here uncomfortable. I'm going to send you out of here with lots of questions. I'm going to send you out of here desiring to study God's word more because you got to come up with an answer for this. But what does God want you to do with yourself and everything that he has given you? What is his plan? How do you fit in to the work that God is doing in St. Mark's, in Eureka, in your families, all around you, your neighbors? What does God want you to do? Are we doing this to get God to love us? No. That's done. Already loves you. If you don't give anything back to him, will he still love you? Yes. Does that mean that we don't have to give anything back to him? Because he already has loved us, because he has already redeemed us, because he has already made us his, we want to be a part of his plan. We want to be active in his kingdom. So what I'm telling you today is go to God, be in prayer, dive into his word, look at your life, look at what you can do. Look at your resources. Honor the responsibilities God has given you. And passionately seek out how you can use the things God has entrusted to you for his purpose. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you. We come before you with humility because there's so many things we don't know. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to help us to understand more. Guide us, Lord. Give us our daily bread, Lord, just enough for today. But that's also the information that we need, Lord. The plan, Lord, sometimes we don't know the plan more than a day by day either. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be faithful, to listen to you, and to do your work in our lives out of worship and praise for all that you've done for us. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation we believe. This broken generation, when all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. We believe. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe.
Please stand as we profess our shared faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. This time we have a Guatemala presentation. I'd like to start by inviting Jeff Rabe up. Who's going to share some thoughts with us.
Good morning. So I was asked, maybe a week ago, hey, Jeff, how'd you like to share about Guatemala? And I said, sure. And after I said sure, it's like, oh, what have I done? You know, I try to listen every week to all the messages, and we have some amazing pastors that teach us and children's messages that we hear. But I guess because I knew I was going to do this, I was listening maybe a little more intently this morning. And the truth is, during the children's message, as I listen, I'm thinking, well, okay, that's what I was going to say. And then I listen to Pastor Bob, and it's like, well, that's really what I was going to say. So you've already heard the message, but what I've asked God to do is speak through me. I don't want you to hear my words. I want you to hear his words. I've been asked by a lot of people as I came back. This was my first visit, by the way. There were several of us, and I'm going to give you a few names. But a lot of people asked me when I came back, so how was it? What did you think? And really, the one word that always comes to mind is humble. I was incredibly humbled. To imagine going to a different place and to see how people live very much unlike how we live is incredibly humbling. What this message really, if you don't hear anything else, please hear that everything that was done in Guatemala was all about Jesus. Okay, and I'd also like you to hear, this is your story. This is all about you guys. Because without the monies that you, it's hard to imagine. It can't be done without you. You're all part of this. So I want you to know that this is a story about you as well. I looked at the weather this morning in Zacapa, and it's in the 80s. And it's going to rain. And my first thought was, wow, the family that we were able to help down there about a month ago, they're going to be able to go into a house that has a roof and walls, and they'll be able to get out of the weather. Before that, they lived in a dwelling that had sheets of tin, metal, that maybe had holes, maybe didn't. Lots of sticks. If they have sheets of cardboard they can find, not so much, but lots of sticks. And all the cooking they did was on a fire in the outside, wood fire. It's a little different than how we live. When I first thought, and I, you know, as you guys give towards this effort, as you guys collect food for baskets for Easter, for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, all the things you participate in, and this is an incredibly giving group of people. You are part of the body of Christ, but you give a lot, and we're incredibly grateful for your giving hearts. When we were down there, I went with the intent, oh, I want to build a house. That's really what was on my mind. Well, guess what? It was all about Jesus. It wasn't about building a house. And by the way, the work that was done there, so Pastor Bob, Kevin, and I did some physical work. Okay, we carried some buckets of concrete, and we helped finish all the floors in the house, and that was cool. By the way, the house, generally speaking, maybe 20 feet by 30, maybe not quite that big, 10 people are going to live there. Two bedrooms, a very small bathroom, and a living room, dining room, kitchen room. 10 people, and there's another one on the way. So it's humbling. Anyway, my mind was on building a house. So guess what? There were some people, and I'll name them, Sherry, Lisa, Cara, Rachel, and Connie. The ladies in the group did a lot of work preparation for vacation Bible school, or I'll call it the Bible school, which we had each afternoon. And the kids were incredible, anywhere between maybe 50 and 70 kids coming to hear about Jesus. Lots of energy, lots of enthusiasm. It was wonderful. Pastor Bob, Kevin, and I got to carry a few buckets of concrete and help out with the finishing of the building of the house. But again, it's about a family that heard a lot about Jesus that week. It's about a community that hears a lot about Jesus each year. These folks do this, and some of them have been doing it for more than 15 years. Okay, so it's not something brand new. It's about families. We were able to help a family. Lord willing, we'll help another family in a year to build a house that is cinder block, that has concrete floors, that has a metal roof without holes, and has a few windows in it. It's pretty cool. So today they'll be out of the weather, which just warms my heart. Again, it's about the kids in the Bible school, their enthusiasm, they're hungry for Jesus, and they hear a lot about Jesus, as well as we can share. It's about listening to the Lord. And as I heard the message this morning, you know, there's that still small voice that speaks to us. It's the Holy Spirit. And I just want to encourage all of you, as you're walking each day, keep listening, because he's not going to stop talking to us. This church body is incredible. Your faithfulness is amazing. And again, this story is about you. It's not just about us. So be blessed and thank you. If you have any questions, talk to one of the group that went down there. I got to share in a Bible study on Friday for, I probably spoke way too long to them, but there are lots of things to share and lots of blessings to be had. So we love you, and we're grateful for you and all that you do. Let's all keep listening to the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Jeff. Please stand as we continue with the prayers of the day. Heavenly Father, help us all to hear clearly the calling from you as to how to best steward what you've entrusted to our care. Help us to hear so loudly that it drowns out our natural sinful state that would want to just keep it all for ourselves. But by your guidance, help us to see those who we can serve with what you've entrusted to us. Lord, I thank you so much for the team that went down to Guatemala. I thank you for the families that they were able to support in the way that, with their words and with their actions, they were able to communicate your love to them. I pray that those who heard the message of Jesus, that they would hold on to that for the rest of their lives. Lord, I pray for the people in our community this day. We pray for Mike Connor, who suffered from a stroke in early January. We pray that you would continue to be with him physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally as he recovers from that. Lord, I pray that you'd be with Wayne Sprick, who's recovering after a fall and fractured his left humerus. I just pray that you would help his bones to heal and help him to recover quickly. We pray for all those who are mourning the loss of Connie Police, Cindy Ball's sister. We pray that you would grant peace and comfort to them as they're experiencing this time of separation. Lord, we pray that you'd be with Tammy Liebman with her stress and anxiety as she's experiencing various things. Just help her to know of your love and your care for her. Lord, we pray for all of our national leadership this day, especially this day. We pray for Congress. Pray that you would guide them as they are mindful of the needs of everyone in this country and faithfully determine laws in accordance with the care for everyone. All these things we pray in your Son's holy precious name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me."
Who art in heaven?
hear us from heaven. Forgive our sins, we pray. Forgive our sins, we pray. Forgive our sins, we pray.
Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
Your faithfulness, O God.
Several announcements this morning. First, I want to note that this Saturday is the Daddy-Daughter Dance. So calling all dads, grandpas, uncles, godfathers, or other significant male figures. Don't miss this wonderful opportunity. I know I'm excited to go with my daughters, and so I invite all of you to please sign up. There's more details in the bulletin for what all that entails. Also want to note that we're selling cake rolls that should be here before Easter. So if you're thinking, man, what do I want to do for dessert this Easter? Cake rolls. That's what you want to do. So there's a sign-up to support the youth. There's an insert in your bulletin about it and a sign-up opportunity there. I also at this time want to dismiss all the children to Sunday school. You can meet our DC Lauren Bates there in the back. And I'm going to be leading our main Bible study in here today. We're going to be reflecting on the way that we treat other people, reflecting on Matthew 5. So please stick around for that. Other things to note. Again, you saw the video. You heard the wonderful spiel from Jeff about Guatemala. And so, again, already fundraising for the next trip that's going to be next year. So we have an opportunity tomorrow night at Camilla's Dine to Donate. And so part of the proceeds of what Camilla makes, they give to support this mission. Also, tentatively, we're going to take a door offering next Sunday also for this purpose. So anticipate that. Couple other quick things. We got sign up for flowers. So we get Easter flowers. It's a nice, beautiful cross. But if you want to buy and then take after Easter with you flowers, there's a sign up for that. There's also a sign up for our Lenten fellowship dinners. Again, we're in the season of Lent, and every Wednesday from 6 to about 7, we have fellowship dinners. It's a great opportunity to connect with the people that you worship with and your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So consider coming, and then you know it's great when people can take turns bringing soup, salad, sandwiches, whatever. It's a great opportunity. Lastly, we are have a food drive that is going on, and so this week is when the children of the school are going to be assembling the Easter baskets that we give to people in need. There's a bulletin insert about it last Sunday, but we're still looking to gather more food. You can see the boxes that kind of say some of the stuff out there and where to place it. If you could bring it in the next couple days, that's great, but we'll take it this week, so please support that ministry as well. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today, Marcus Day. Have a blessed week.